passage that we're looking at is taken from Matthew chapter 7 and verses 15 to 23. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers."
Now, Rogue Traders is probably a BBC TV program that some of you might be familiar with. The concept is quite simple. Matt Allwright and his motorcycle-riding sidekick take an allegedly dodgy tradesman and set up a repair job for them to do, which is secretly filmed. And then the resultant work is analysed by an expert. The tradesmen may seem like the real deal. If you pick them out of the yellow pages, you probably wouldn't know them from any other. They have all the right certificates. They drive a convincing-looking white van. They carry the right tools and talk the right talk. On the surface, they're quite convincing. You would happily believe them to be qualified for the job. They seem motivated to fix your plumbing or your boiler or your electrics. But it soon comes to light that all is not that it seems. They have a different agenda from the one that they portray. They're actually a wolf in sheep's clothing. All they want is your money. They don't really have your best interests at heart. They're just looking out for their own gain. They come and they rip people off by overcharging, by deceiving them into doing work that doesn't need to be done, by making false claims. But these rogue traders are quickly exposed for their reality, because the result of their labour is not what it should be. In much the same way in this passage, Jesus is warning us of another form of rogue trader, one who is a false prophet. Just as we would want to be equipped to protect our property or our family from a rogue trader, Jesus points us about how to be equipped to spot the false prophet, and also warns us not to be complacent about our own position before him. So, as we turn to this passage, Jesus' warning is a call to action. He says, "Watch out," in verse 15. "We need to be vigilant. These people will come to you. They will walk through the doors of your church meetings. You don't need to go and find them and bring them in. They will seek you out." Jesus is clearly showing us we need to be proactive. Jesus is warning us that we need to be aware of these false prophets. But what are the characteristics of these imposters? How can they be identified? How can we find out these rogue traders? Well, first of all, we need to be aware that they are subtle. Jesus describes them in this way in verse 15. "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." They come in disguise. They have all the right credentials. They'll be nice people. When Jesus talks about prophets, he isn't just referring to people who claim to know the future, which is quite a strange thing today, but Jesus is talking about anyone who claims to teach about the way of God. That includes Bible study leaders, Sunday school teachers, preachers. They will be people we'd be willing to have round to dinner. They might well be very moral and upright. They might well have a nice family, live in a nice house and drive a comfortable car. They might be warm, friendly, and likeable. Great company on a nice group night out. They will fit in with us. They will be comfortable people to be around. But Jesus says, be warned, that inside they are very different. Their motivation is not all that it seems to be. These false teachers are not explicitly obvious. They won't come and rock the boat in such a way that makes everyone want to jump ship. But they are dangerous. Jesus describes them as ferocious wolves. They are bringers of trouble and danger. They are people seeking to further their own agenda at the expense of those who are seeking to follow Jesus. And they don't care about the damage they do as they do it. Jesus really doesn't leave us in any doubt that these people we need to be vigilant of. People we need to proactively watch for. Jesus' warning seems somewhat terrifying. The idea that a ferocious wolf could come and damage and lead people away from the truth that God gives us in the Bible. But Jesus doesn't leave us ill-equipped to identify these false prophets. He tells us how we can discern the reality. Let's look at verses 16 to 18. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears good fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Jesus changes his picture language now to that of trees and fruit. Jesus is telling those that follow him that you can recognize these wolves in disguise. Jesus' picture of good fruit from good trees is very clear. I remember when I was younger being taken to pick your own strawberries. Even at a young age, I would have known that if my parents had told me, go over there to those stinging nettles, you'll find some really nice strawberries over there, that they were talking rubbish. It just doesn't work like that. Getting sweet, luscious strawberries from stinging nettles is just not a reality. And this is what Jesus is driving home here. False prophets or teachers are bad trees. They cannot produce good fruit, much as stinging nettles cannot produce luscious strawberries. Jesus is extremely emphatic. In fact, he drives home this point no less than 3 times in verses 16 to 18. Jesus is saying that you'll be able to discern who these people are by the results of what they do. That much like the result of a rogue trader's labour quickly exposes them, the results of what these false prophets or teachers produce will expose them. Jesus is saying that the core of these people will be revealed in what they do. This is not about their outward appearance. Jesus has already told us that wolves can look like sheep. But it's about their manner, their motivation, and what results from these motivations. People who are seeking their own motivations, agenda, or gain in something, they'll bear the fruit of that. But those seeking God's will, those seeking to bring about His glory, will bear the fruit of that. This is what we need to carefully discern. We need to avoid being charmed by these false teachers, by not being trapped by what they say. We need to avoid being drawn in by their sheep's clothing. They might well be very good orators. They might be great speakers, humorous and engaging, but we need to avoid being charmed by that. We need to be looking at what they do, analysing the results of their actions, thinking carefully about what they teach and the consequences that it has. Next, Jesus comes to explain how bad trees are to be dealt with. Continuing with the language and imagery of an orchard of fruit trees, Jesus explains in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. If you own an orchard, a tree that does not produce good fruit is removed, without exception. It's not allowed to grow. It's not allowed to lay down strong roots or get a hold and infect other trees. It is decisively cut down and destroyed. We should therefore have the same intolerance to false teaching. We cannot let it get a hold in any way. It seems cutthroat, but Jesus is seeking out the protection of his followers. it is ultimately important. The teaching of truth is not something that is to be compromised. So how can we be equipped practically to discern the reality of someone's fruit? It sounds like a daunting and challenging task, but there are several key points that we can practically take away that will help us. Firstly, we need to have a comprehensive understanding of the Bible. The Bible is the ultimate gold standard to hold against any teaching of any kind. If what someone is teaching doesn't seem to line up against what the Bible teaches, then we need to be asking questions. This is not just a case of saying, does this person have a verse to back up what they are teaching? I once heard a saying that says, every heretic or false teacher has his verse. It can be very easy for false teachers to manipulate the Bible or to make it say things that they want it to. They can remove verses from the context in which they are written or manipulate the meanings of words to suit their own ends. We need to make sure we ourselves are reading the Bible, that we are seeking to understand it. We need to make sure that we have a thorough understanding of what God has revealed to us in the Bible, of what His Word and truth teaches. This is the golden standard. If something someone is teaching does not align with what the Bible says, then warnings, alarms should sound. One very recent example of this that's been in the media is the end of the world prophecy. It's made headlines all over the world. The reality of that prophecy was soon shown to be untrue. However, this should not come as a surprise, as this is a clear example of where someone's teaching has clearly contradicted what the Bible teaches. In Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus himself says in reference to his second coming, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus clearly states that no one knows except the Father, and that not even Jesus himself knows when he will return. What Harold Camping taught that made headlines all over the world was clearly contradictory to the Bible, and it has had sad consequences and destroyed people's lives. I have no idea what his personal motivations were, but some of his followers have lost thousands of dollars, have sold their homes, have given money to him, and there are allegations of financial irregularities. It seems odd that he had so many followers when he was so clearly teaching what the Bible doesn't teach. But Jesus' warning rings resoundingly true in this case. Harold Camping came in sheep's clothing. He was probably sincere. He claimed to teach the Bible. He was probably a nice guy. But he failed to teach the truth of the Bible. We can't but pray that he will repent. So, firstly, we need to have a comprehensive understanding of the Bible. We need to ensure that we know God's truth. But secondly, we also need to be aware of current issues. Often, teachings can be spread through the church very quickly. We have the internet and books are freely available. We need to try to be aware of what these popular books and articles and speakers that are available are saying. Again, when we encounter them, we need to hold them up against the standards of the Bible. Is this person's teaching aligned with what the Bible teaches? Does this book suggest an incorrect truth that the Bible doesn't teach? Some other examples that have cropped up in recent years are teaching regarding the nature of the cross, the existence, and the reality of hell. We need to have a firm grasp of what the Bible teaches as we face these issues. If we are aware of potential false teaching that the church may encounter, we need to ensure that we are equipped. Begin reading relevant Bible passages, seeking to understand them. Be continually praying for discernment in what we hear and we read. But do also remember, we aren't alone. We're a community of God's people, and we can help each other. We can discuss any issues that we have concerns about. If you're concerned about some teaching that you have read or that you have heard, discuss it with a Christian you trust. If you are unsure, do ask your church leader. We aren't expected to be Lone Ranger Christians. So now, from false teachers, Jesus takes us to another serious warning. A warning this time about false disciples or false Christians. Last week, Andy took you through the preceding verses to today, looking at the narrow and broad paths. The reality that Jesus explains is that there are only two ways of living. Either going the way of the narrow road, where we follow what God wants, or the broad road, where we follow whatever we want. Just as there are only two paths, narrow and broad, here Jesus presents us with only two final destinations, welcome or rejection. Let's just refresh ourselves of what Jesus says here in verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Jesus is painting a powerful and serious scene here. We are at Judgment Day, the day when all humanity is called to account before God. We are watching the judgment seat. There are people who are claiming allegiance to Jesus, who are being turned away from him. They are claiming to have done great things in Jesus' name, to have driven out demons and performed miracles. These are heartfelt pleas for acceptance, but Jesus rejects them in no uncertain terms. He says, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." It seems strange and somewhat horrifying. These people seem to have explained that they have quite the CV to get into heaven, quite the qualification. They claim to have done spectacular things, yet Jesus rejects them. Why? It's because they are just words. Jesus describes them as evildoers. Evil is the rejection of God's will. Jesus knows the reality that these people haven't lived in a way that aligns with what God wants of them. They may well have done these miracles. Miracle shows were not uncommon in Jesus' time. But they were nothing to do with him or his Father's will. So what is being a real disciple or follower of Jesus, being a Christian, really about? Jesus is warning here that smooth words or saying the right thing or doing right action or going to church weekly or mixing with the right people or giving away your money, or knowing the right doctrines or truths, are not what he is seeking here. Yes, all these things are good. But look at what Jesus says is the most important thing here in verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Over the last 6 or 7 months, we have heard week in and week out the nature of God's kingdom, what kingdom people are like. And the danger is that we think that following what Jesus says to do in the Sermon on the Mount is a moral code that will get us into heaven. We can end up treating it like a list of checkboxes of eligibility, but it isn't. We really must not be complacent about this. It is serious business. Doing God's will is about submitting first and foremost to what God wants us to do. It is no longer about us setting the agenda, but about us putting our hands up and saying, "God, I have been seeking my agenda, but now I want to seek yours. Take every single part of my life and turn it around for you." Jesus is saying here that no matter how good or convincing our words or actions are, it is not about that. We have to totally give our lives over to God. He has to be setting the agenda. We have to give over to God the entirety of the way we live. This is about the attitude of our heart, about what we are really seeking. This is about making God king of our lives, about us stepping down off the throne and saying, "Lord God, this life you have given me, it is yours. I want to follow you. Lord God, this life is not about me getting glory or attention or achievements or prestige. This is about you. It's about you, Lord God, getting your glory and not me getting mine. God knows our heart. Jesus clearly shows us he can see through empty actions and words. If we are seeking to live in the way that he would have us live, if we are seeking to bring him glory, then Jesus will welcome us that final day. Living for God in this way is a challenge. Our sinful nature wants to push back into the driving seat day after day. We can't do it without God's help. We need to pray and ask for his help and forgiveness every day as we seek to live for him as kingdom people, seeking to do his will. Jesus' warning, powerful warning, stands here. Don't be complacent. Don't sit back and think that just achieving the right things will bring us acceptance before God. Jesus clearly teaches that anything like that is easily seen through by him. If we continue to live on our own achievements, in a life where we set the agenda, we are just ignoring this warning that Jesus will turn and reject us on that day, because we have rejected the way that we are called to live. It's shocking, but this is the reality of what the Bible teaches. And it would be unfair of me not to warn you in the same terms that Jesus does. So ask God to turn your life around so that you are seeking to do his will, so that you are seeking to serve God and bring him the glory. So as we conclude, Jesus has presented us here with two very clear warnings, the first of which is to be watching for false prophets. Jesus is warning us to be on the lookout for wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to be vigilant in the things we listen to, the things we read, and the things that we engage with. Jesus is warning that we need to be equipped to test the fruit of teachers, to be diligent in holding up their teachings to the ultimate golden standard, the Bible. So we need to know and understand our Bible as well. We also need to be aware of the issues that are currently being attacked through popular books or teaching and be prepared for them. Be discerning in what we take in. Weigh it. Test it against what the Bible teaches. If it is found to be contrary to the Bible, it needs to be decisively uprooted and discarded. The second warning that Jesus presents is that we must not think that the true Christian merit is based on saying the right words and doing the right actions. We must not be complacent. Jesus clearly states in verse 21 that it is about submitting to God's will, that we must give up our own ambition or agenda and completely give our lives over to God, making him the king of our lives, making God the one who is setting that agenda. So let us stand together and sing our final song.